The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another spring training edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Don't have any major developments this episode. We have a bunch of smaller ones that we will get into as camp continues to play out. I think they're going to start making some cuts soon and sending some players away. We're going to start off with some Tristan Casas talk, some Christian Campbell talk, the five spot in the Red Sox rotation, at least for the first couple of weeks of April, is kind of open to interpretation. We'll be getting into that. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Jason Kelly, Nick Diamond. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Yeah, good to see some regular spring training on TV, and things are starting to round into form finally. So, you know, it's pretty cool that the season's only about 3 weeks away now. It's about time. So, getting to it. It's exciting.
Is that a new microphone, Nick?
Yeah, I just moved, so I got a whole new setup, whole new room.
Oh, perfect.
The whole thing is about this room, though. I have nothing in it, so it might be a little bit echoey.
Honestly, I can live with that. You're good. Charlie.
Yeah, so right now, there's literally like nothing on the wall, nothing on. I have a bed and like a bookcase, and that's it.
Yeah. Charlie had a raging case of the echoes last year. So, but luckily got that resolved. So we're good. I was wondering if that other mic was going to be what you use, because I don't know if we've talked about it yet, but we are going to be moving to a different recording platform. I think all of our shows will be available on YouTube, but they'll obviously be uploaded immediately to the regular platform. So the audience will have to do nothing, but we are going to work on our, you know, the physical presentation for YouTube. So I'm kind of excited. You got like a legit setup there. That's cool.
Are you going to still be using Google Meet?
No, we're going to be using either StreamYard or Restream. I'm familiar with Restream, but I might get a little out of my comfort zone a little, depending on.
Yeah, so I got this stuff in the mail yesterday, and I was messing with this on Google Meet, and I couldn't figure out how to record my own thing. So I guess you got to do.
Okay, so you can't record anything on Google Meet. You can on Zoom. But you're sacrificing audio quality if you use Zoom.
On Zoom.
Because it's kind of robotic. Like, we've tinkered with that in Google Meet right here. The quality is better, but you can't record, which is a major bummer.
True, so. Yeah. So I've tried StreamYard. It's very laggy. I don't know. That's just what my opinion is. But I don't know if that was just my Wi-Fi at the time or that was a everything person. Like, everybody was just laggy. So I don't know. I'm open to everything.
Well, perhaps I'll just stick to Restream and because it's very user-friendly. And I think I can set Jason and Charlie up on it to essentially run it like I do. So we'll see. But there will be some infrastructural changes here and literally probably within the next couple weeks. So. But again, if you like everything the way you currently listen to us, it's going to be available all the same, as well. So, all right, let's get into it. Tristan Casas thinks he's going to be the next coming of, pick your legend. He says he's going to be a 40-120 guy. He's hit 42 home runs his entire career. And he's going to double that this year. Jason, thoughts?
So normally this is the kind of thing that I would get into. Like, I like it when players are feeling confident in themselves because it tells you that they're in a good place physically, they're in a good place mentally. I know Costas had to miss today's game because of that stomach bug that's going around. And but, you know, that's the kind of thing where you go, okay, that's what we want to hear. You want to hear players getting hype, players feeling good about themselves. But when it comes to Tristan Costas, can you just focus on maybe playing 150 games? Can we just start with that? Can we start with a baseline of just you being on the field to start with? Because you haven't been able to do that yet. Okay, so you swang so hard last year, you busted a rib. So why don't we focus on keeping you healthy, having you play first base for 150 games, and then we'll worry about what you do statistically. Look, I have no problem with him wanting to be confident, wanting to puff out his chest, say, yep, I want to, because, you know, it's the responsibility of a Red Sox first baseman. You got to put up numbers like that. Okay, I get it, dude. I know. They're big shoes to fill at that position, big shoes to fill for really any player of this franchise with all the greats that have passed by. But, you know, they went through the list earlier on the radio of all the I think, 9 players total in Red Sox history who have done that. They're all Hall of Famers, or should be, right? It's, you know, Manny, Ortiz, Williams, Yaz, Carlton Fisk, Jim Rice, J.D. Martinez was the last recent one. Most of those are right-handed hitters because it's easier for them to do it at Fenway. Costas is a lefty, so if he's going to turn into David Ortiz, hey, that's great. I would love another David Ortiz. But can we just focus on you staying healthy and then, you know, we'll get to that stuff later? It's just, again, it's always about him with this guy. It's never about the team. You don't hear Tristan Costas saying stuff like, yeah, you know, I know that we didn't make the playoffs last year or the year before, and that was really disappointing. Really looking forward to helping the team win more games this year. We have a good roster, and, you know, I'm hoping that we can win the division and blah, blah. It's never that. It's, hey, guess what, guys? I'm going 41-20 this year. Yeah. You like that, Red Sox Nation? Yeah. I got some new yoga moves I'm going to try out, too, in the outfield. Wait till you see that. And don't forget to check out my documentary that comes out when the season starts. I'm a real ride on that thing, too. It's all of that crap. It's never about winning or about the team. It's, hey, look what I'm going to do. Check this out. This is going to be my next move. It's just so annoying with this guy. So once again, Tristan Costas opens his mouth, and once again, a bunch of crap comes out of it. I just hope he stays healthy, because if this guy has another season cut short due to injury and he just continues to talk and talk and talk, it's just going to get more and more irritating. So Tristan, just focus on playing 150 games at least. Start with that. Then we'll worry about how many home runs you hit.
Nick.
I'll say I prefer these comments compared to the last comments we heard from him about Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony not making the opening day roster. I thought that was just terrible. You can't say that about your own teammates, especially a guy who's probably going to play at least 100 games right next to you in Christian Campbell at second base. But if you want to go out and tell me you want to hit 40 home runs and drive in 120 RBIs, I am not against that. It's just be a little bit realistic. Like Jason said, he has 42 home runs in his career. You want to double that in 1 year? I don't think that's happening. Go out there and see you're going to hit 30. Go out there and see you're going to hit 25, 30. I would love to hit 30. If he hits 30, I'd be very happy. 30, 90 RBIs, I'd be happy with that. Don't go out there and blow everybody out of the water, try to put an unrealistic number that you can't hit. He's not hitting 40 home runs. If he hits 40 home runs, the Red Sox are going to be in a really good spot. But he's not hitting 40 home runs. So, I mean, these are not comments that I hate. It's just Tristan Costas, come down to earth, stay healthy, don't have a rib injury. Let's stay on the field for 145 games, and let's see what happens. If you hit 40 home runs, then you're a great player, and I'll shut up. And I think a lot of us will shut up. But let's keep him on the field for 140 games at least before he goes out here and says, I'm going to hit 40 home runs and be a top 5, top 10 MVP guy. Because if you hit 40 home runs with 120 RBIs, you're an MVP voting. And that's not Tristan Costas at this point.
So I'm not a Tristan Costas guy at this point. I used to be. he needs to just be a baseball guy. And I don't know what his future is with the Red Sox. See, I'm struggling with my words here with him. Right now, he's lucky that the Red Sox didn't find the right dance partner to move him. I don't know if I really want to move him at this point. The Devers-Bregman thing needs to work itself out. Maybe Yoshida. Who knows? That thing is just far from resolved right now. And we'll get into Christian Campbell here shortly and how that all plays out. But Casas is lucky that there's no other obvious solution for first base. And so he's going to get to keep that spot and most likely have a chance to redeem himself. That's how he needs to look at it. Now, as Jason was pointing out in a lot of ways, Tristan Casas is not a guy who has an adequate level of self-awareness. He doesn't have it. And you got some kids coming up that are going to hopefully make an impact as rookies. And you're going to have Casas's antics off to the side. And I don't know if that's really the best thing for the other two, who probably instantly will have more maturity than Casas does on day one. But he just needs to be a baseball guy. And forget about the Spider-Man outfits and the yoga poses. And I'll say this, I don't think he's wearing nail polish anymore. Maybe he's put that to bed. I don't know. For the record, I don't care if he does or doesn't. You know, we just want him to lock in. He probably does have a high baseball IQ. You can tell in his interviews with his approach, how he approaches pitchers and all that. And I think he does share observations with other guys in the lineup on something they can look at. So that's the positive thing that he does. But I don't know as a left-handed hitter that he's going to hit 40 home runs. And the other problem is he's the slowest guy on the team. It's hard to get a lot of doubles if you're not very quick. And I don't know if I want him sprinting around the bases because he has had ankle injuries. So we need him to be smart in how he goes about things. And clearly he wasn't last year when he blew out his rib cage. So I don't know. There's a lot of liability there in terms of how his personality fits, how he handles the media, and how durable is he? There's a lot of problems with Tristan Casas. So if he can make more of those go away and just kind of quietly handle business, I could see him like hitting walk-offs, whether they're home runs or just balls through the gap to drive in one or two runs in the ninth inning to walk it off. I can see him playing a serious role, but I can also see a circus act kind of messing with the mojo in the clubhouse. And I don't know. So I guess what I'm getting at here is we need a full season of Tristan Casas being a baseball guy, handling business like a normal cornerstone player of a ball club. That's what we need. And I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get that. I haven't seen anything so far that tells me 2025 Tristan Casas is going to be a lot different from 2024 Tristan Casas.
And the thing with a guy like that, the kind of, you know, character that he is, fans enjoy it now because it's, you know, well, he's, you know, he still hasn't had his breakout year and, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's so cute. And, you know, just wait till he's hitting, like, you know, like he says, 40 home runs. And then you're all going to see why we love him so much. That's fine. If the Red Sox are winning and, you know, they're playing well, the Casas stuff isn't as annoying and you won't notice it. if this team struggles again this year for whatever reason, and they shouldn't, but if they do, and this guy's still carrying on like this, and he's hitting 240 by the All-Star break, then it gets annoying. And that's when it not only gets annoying to people like us, but it will really annoy the manager, who I think already doesn't like him. And it will annoy the front office, who already tried to trade him this past winter. So for a guy like Casas, I would say maybe tone it down and just, you know, like you said, just focus on the baseball, because this team needs to win this year. That's the most important part. They have to get back to winning this year, especially with the offseason they had and all the pressure that's on them now. They've got to win. If they don't, and this guy's still running his mouth, he's going to run himself right out of town.
Go ahead.
I definitely agree. I don't think Cora is totally in on him either. I think Chaim Bloom was definitely more in on him than Craig Breslow is. Breslow seemed very open to move him. He's definitely tried to move him. And I'm not going to – even if Casas goes out and hits 40 home runs, I wouldn't be surprised if he was still moved. Like, that's what I think this – where it's at this point. Like, if Casas goes out there and proves himself that he is a 40 home run guy, I think he gets moved no matter what. I think they just want to move on from him. I think next year they go for Vlad and they do what they can do for Vlad. You get at what you can out of Casas, and this team doesn't really want him anymore. And if he hits 40 home runs, that stinks for Casas, because I'm not going to say it's impossible for him to hit 40 home runs, but I'll give him like a five to 8% chance to hit 40 home runs. That might be fair. I don't know. I'm going to say about 28 to 32 seems more realistic to me. But I don't think 40 home runs is a 0% chance. So it's just like a – I think the front office wants him gone, but I'm not going to sit here and count him out and say it's a 0% chance he hits 40. Because I still think offensive talent's there. I think the upside is there. It's just the personality. Does he mesh well in the clubhouse? Do his teammates get along with him? We don't know. It doesn't seem like it so far. And does his manager like him? In my opinion, no. Does his new general manager like him? In my opinion, no. It's just, we'll see what happens. If your general manager and your manager don't like you, chances are you're gone. So we'll see what happens.
He also had to sit through the trade rumors and pretend they didn't happen, you know, by quoting Breslow as saying, they have no intentions of trading me. They want me here for a long time. And we know Breslow is saying that because he has to say it, regardless of what his intentions really are. So that should alone be the big wake-up call. But do we think that Breslow and or Alex Cora have pulled him aside and had a 20 or 30 minute conversation on how he needs to tone down the antics?
Maybe not yet, but that's what I'm saying. It could happen this season. If, you know, let's say sometime in June, they had a little bit of a slump, right? And they lose, you know, they have a week where they lose 5 of 6. You know, and Cora has to do those god-awful, you know, press conferences, you know, with the Boston media where he has to say, yeah, you know, just got to stay the course, whatever, and get back on track. And then Casas says something stupid like, well, you know, I hit a home run today, so I feel pretty good, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, it's going to be something like that where the team is struggling and the manager gets frustrated and Casas just says something out of pocket. And that's when Cora is going to pull him aside and be like, all right, enough. Like, I'm tired of this. We need to focus on winning. You need to shut your mouth. And it'll be something like that. That I think it could happen in the middle of this season. I'm not sure it's happened yet, though. I think they're still trying to be a little bit patient with him, and they're feeding off of the good vibes of the offseason anyway, so they're probably letting it slide a little bit. But that's all it'll take. In Boston, Boston becomes a powder keg pretty quick. If that team in the middle of summer, when nothing else is going on, if they go on a losing streak, tensions can get high pretty quick. And that's when, you know, a potential blow up or some sort of, you know, sit down with between them and Casas could happen.
I think we finally have a player that will tell Tristan Casas to shut up. and Alex Bregman. I mean, Cora can do whatever he wants. And Tristan Casas has never been to the playoffs. He's come up. He's been hurt. He's finished second rookie of the year. He had a good rookie year and then had his terrible sophomore year. I think he needs somebody to tell him, shut up, stop painting your nails, go out there and hit, do what you can do, and then you can do whatever you want. As soon as you prove that you're a good baseball player, do whatever you want. And I think this guy, Alex Bregman, can be. And I hope that's what happens, because I don't think he listens to Alex Cora. If Bregman goes in his face and says, shut up, hit balls, and play good first base, I think he will at least learn a little bit. I don't know. I think we need a leader, and I think Alex Bregman will help him.
That's an interesting observation. You know, and if Bregman steps up, maybe that empowers Trevor Story to also chime in and say, hey, you know, we're both veterans here. We've been around a while. We know what the right way is. We know what the wrong way is. And perhaps with Alex Cora, maybe it is a delicate situation, because, like I said, I respect Casas's intellectual approach. Like, you can tell he studies hitters and he's always analyzing his own, you know, plate appearances, and you want to see that. And because he does check off those boxes, perhaps maybe Cora is a little hesitant to have that tough conversation with him. But
there's a point that Alex Cora realizes that Tristan Casas is a more talented hitter than he ever was. And he's scared to be like, stop. Don't do this. Don't do that. And Alex Cora should, because Alex Cora wasn't as weird as Tristan Casas. I understand Alex Cora was known to be like a second base shortstop, like middle infield backup kind of guy. But you're a manager for the Boston Red Sox. You got to be able to tell your players to stop doing something stupid or perform the way they're supposed to or perform up to their talent level. Tristan Casas is able to hit 30, 35 home runs. He definitely is. But make him stop saying stupid things. Just go out there, play first base. You're 25 years old. Let your talent do the talking. Just let's see what happens. He doesn't need to talk to the media like he does. He's not as good as he thinks he is. The Red Sox aren't as good as he thinks he is at this point. Like, the Red Sox need to go out there and prove something before he talks about hitting 120 RBIs. The last time the Red Sox had a guy who had 120 RBIs was 7 years ago, 6 years ago. That doesn't happen all the time. That barely happens, 120 RBIs. You can't just be like, yeah, I'm going to have 120 RBIs this year. No.
Like Jason said, I mean, Casas is probably going to hit fourth or fifth, I'm assuming. But like Jason said, you know, how Casas should be addressing that is, well, you know, I think I can put up some big numbers, but I got Raffy hitting in front of me. I'm going to have probably Bregman hitting in front of me. My biggest priority is getting those guys across the plate. That's what I'm here to do. And you just don't, you know, he's more about himself than he is about the team. And so is what it is. Here's something that came to mind. And I thought it was an interesting, I don't know if comparison's a good word, but the more I think about it, perhaps it wasn't, but remember in 2018 that it was a weekday in the month of May and Hanley Ramirez got DFA'd out of nowhere. And Hanley was kind of a key bat the couple years coming into it. Once Dombrowski got here, got the first base thing ironed out, and it just came out of nowhere. And I know Casas isn't going to get DFA'd, you know, he would be traded, but it was a bold move at the time, you know, to DFA Hanley. And a lot of people thought going into that, I think we were coming home from the road and we were about to begin a homestand. So maybe it was a Friday when that all dropped. But a lot of people thought Blake Swihart was going to be the guy. A roster move was coming, but it ended up being Hanley. Like when I got out of bed that morning, there was no way under the sun he wasn't going to be off the roster, and he was. So, and that was Alex Cora, you know, instigated or whatever. It wasn't a Dombrowski thing. Alex Cora went to Dave Dombrowski and said, I think we need to keep Swihart and I think we need to keep Hanley. And part of where I think this is somewhat of a decent comp is Hanley was kind of a goofball. You know, he didn't fit. There was, I don't know if you guys remember it. I bring this up like once a year. I think it was during 2017, maybe 2018. Mookie Betts had a weird injury and he wasn't on the injured list. But nobody knew what it was. And after like the fourth or fifth day, more and more questions started to be answered. And there was a rumor and it was never confirmed. So we're just going to keep it in the rumor category that maybe Hanley and Mookie had a bit of a confrontation. And so I'm just saying, you know, he wasn't the best fit. And there were a lot of kids on the team. I mean, Mookie was still young. So was Benintendi. Swihart, still a young guy at that time. They got him out of there. Hanley left, and the rest was history. You know who you got not long after that? Steve Pierce. So I'm just saying, you know, you need to fit in personality wise, or they'll make a bold move.
Yeah, clubhouse chemistry is a real thing. And it does matter. And some of the best Red Sox teams we've seen have had really good locker room chemistry. And then some of the worst ones, like the fried chicken and beer years, were bad locker room chemistry. So it is important. I'm not saying that, you know, Casas is going to get that bad. But, you know, it could be a different kind of dysfunctional if this kind of thing continues. And if they don't succeed, if they don't win and they're struggling and he's still, you know, pulling his antics, then yeah, there is going to be like a Bregman Casas standoff, like Nick mentioned. I could totally see something like that happening.
I don't think he can move off of Casas just because the lack of first base options on the roster. At this point, it's Romy Gonzalez and then Rafael Devers, who's never played a game at first base.
I'm all for Devers at first. I'm not going to, until the final thing comes down and he's either staying.
At this point, he hasn't played a single spring training game. I don't think it happens.
It might happen next year.
It might happen in years going on, like years after that, but it's not happening this year.
And it might not. But I think it solves a lot of problems. You can move Casas, you can keep Yoshida. Bregman goes to third. You can keep Grissom at second for now and try to see if you can salvage him. And I don't know. Hanley had a full spring training at first before he did it. And
well, would you rather have David Hamilton or Vaughn Grissom at second base going forward right now?
We know Hamilton can do it. So
I'm going to take David Hamilton every day of my life. Right now.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. And he can help you in a lot of ways, you know.
I think David Hamilton's valuable enough to make the roster. So I think he deserves a chance over Vaughn Grissom going forward.
Well, the only complication, though, is he's a lefty. So it doesn't solve the balance thing. But, you know, if Grissom doesn't have a ton of exit velocity, like his power numbers were down, and he's a liability at second base because he's never done it. I mean, he lost his job in Atlanta. It was going to be a left fielder because of his defense. So there's, you can make a strong case for Hamilton, and I'm not going to die on either hill. I do like David Hamilton. I just hate the fact that he's a lefty, but he can steal bags for you. He was super clutch, you know. He's very scrappy at the plate like Rafaela is, but his plate discipline is a little bit better. Doesn't have the power Rafaela does, but he did run into a few anyway, so.
Yeah, he looks like he can at least, you know, play the position. He's athletic enough to do it. The speed is definitely an X factor with him. And I mean, so far in spring, his bat has looked pretty good. So it looks like he's got a little more pop in that bat than he maybe had last year, which is encouraging coming off the injury. Vaughn Grissom still looks lost out there. I mean, I know it's only been like a week, but I'm still not seeing it. I'm not seeing what this kid is supposed to be. He just looks like an oversized second baseman that like doesn't have a true position anywhere in the starting nine. Like he just kind of looks big and lumbery. He's not doing it with the bat. And he still looks like a complete liability defensively. So I'm with Nick. If it's between those two, give me David Hamilton any day over Vaughn Grissom. Vaughn Grissom, I think, should probably be down AAA, trying to find a position down there and working on whatever he needs to work on, because he still looks completely lost to me.
He only has, 16 at-bats? I was looking at the wrong line. Okay. So not good. 2 for 16. That's, that's small sample size, but is what it is. 4 punch outs by the looks of it. I hate how he's at the bottom of the list, so I keep having to scroll up. But I don't know. Is Hamilton had at bats yet? I'm not going to lie. I've looked at the box scores every day, but I haven't seen a full game yet. Hamilton is 4 for 17, a little bit better. Walked 3 times. That's good. Stole 3 bases. Yeah. So again, he'll help you win in far more ways, and he'll give you better defense. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see Hamilton at shortstop. They had a game where they kind of subbed some people out, moved Hamilton to short, and he made a bad play over there. He becomes a different guy when he moves from second to short. But as long as you keep him at second base, he's perfectly fine. He can play that position, and he's, I think, more valuable than Vaughn Grissom right now, for sure.
The only thing I like about David Hamilton is I really love him as a pinch runner, backup, like eighth inning, ninth inning, defensive replacement at second base when it's Campbell at second base, who's not comfortable at second base. Like, that's where I like having Hamilton. He's a guy who can pinch run for Devers in the eighth or ninth inning, pinch run for Connor Wong in the eighth or ninth inning, or a guy who can come in and play second base when Campbell sucks and he's not been comfortable at second base, or one of our other second basemen who are not great at second base. It's just, that's where I want him. I want him as a bench piece. I think he's a great best bench piece. He might be one of the best bench players in the league. But if he's a starting second baseman every day, it takes all of his value away. So that's where I kind of want one of these other second basemen to step up, whether it's Campbell, whether it's Vaughn Grissom, which I don't think will happen. I want one of them to step up, but I think right now we're leading David Hamilton because he's had the best spring so far, at least.
Take a guess at who's leading the team in walks right now.
Oh, it's going to be
Nick Sogard. Is it not a guy who plays second base?
It's a guy named Nate Eaton. Eaton.
Outfielder. Yeah.
I don't know who. I don't even know who he is.
He hit a grand slam today. I don't know. He's
yeah. He's like the eighth outfield option.
Guess who's leading in runs batted in? I have heard of this guy. Nope.
Nope.
Not he got a minor league deal or just an invite.
Is it Trace Thompson?
It's Abraham Toro.
It's Abraham Toro. Yeah.
He had another bomb or something yesterday or the day today.
You were close, Jason. Though Thompson does have 5, so it's early. I mean, if you combine all of their stats, most of them have played a little bit more than a full series. So. A couple weeks from now, we'll have a better idea. But But anyway, to second base, though, I would say less than a 30% chance Christian Campbell starts. Like, there was tons of momentum, tons of propaganda out there, but offensively and defensively, he's got to go to Worcester.
I agree. He does not look ready yet, and that's okay. I mean, he blitzed through Double A last year and got the call up to Triple A. Like, we've barely seen what his true potential really is. All we know is that he's got a plus bat. I'm not really sure how he maps out as a, you know, defensively for the rest of his career, and especially since they kind of move him around all over the place. He's had two starts in left. He's had two starts at second. They've kind of, you know, swapped him in back and forth. I want him personally. I want him starting the year in Worcester as the everyday second baseman. I don't care about Vaughn Grissom. Let him figure out whatever, right? I really don't care at this point. Campbell's, he should be your priority. So have him go to Worcester, make him the everyday second baseman there, because there were reports, you know, early in camp that they're still working on just basic second base mechanics with him, which makes sense because he's kind of a, you know, utility guy. He can kind of play everywhere, but he hasn't played anywhere consistently. He's been shortstop, second, you know, even third base a little bit. So I want him exclusively playing second base down in Worcester. Let him really hone his craft there. And then if by, you know, Memorial Day, if he's hitting 450 and he's mashing, then you call him up. And then you figure out what the hell to do with Yoshida. Yoshida will probably be hitting 220 at that point. So who cares? But for now, at the big league level, it should be what their initial plan was all along. Bregman at second, Devers at third, Yoshida's your DH. And then if Campbell explodes it down in Worcester, then you make the call then. And you send Yoshida to Siberia or whatever. But at least to start the year, that's what I think they should do.
I don't know if I'm making this up or not, but I swear I saw an article that said Cora was more concerned about Campbell defensively than he was offensively at the major league level. And that was the second base specifically. When I was in spring training, I remember watching Christian Campbell at second base and in the cages. And I thought his swing was a little bit unorthodox, but he had this immense pull side power with this backspin he created. The ball would just whoo, whoo. But his second base defense was very below average. It was bad. At least for like a guy, he's not super familiar with second base. I thought he was a average to below average defensive second baseman at best. But when we're talking about our other defensive second baseman options, we have Grissom, who's not great at second base. David Hamilton, who's probably okay at second base. And that's it. Like, if we're going to take Campbell out of second base because of his defense, I don't like that because our other defensive options are not great. So I'm going to go with your best overall player. That's who I want to pick as your open inning second baseman. If it's Campbell, if he hits, if he comes back, and we still have 2 or 3 weeks, right? He can come back and hit. He can still rake. He can bat 300 this spring. And I think he's still the best option at second base. I don't know. We'll see. But I think David Hamilton wins the job. I don't think he deserves the job. I want to go with your best player at second base. I want to win as many games as possible. I don't want to fool around with a platoon at second base with Grissom and Hamilton. I want to go with your best guy. If that's Campbell, go with your best guy.
I just hope that all that hype in the last few weeks, and part of it did involve the Devers Bregman drama, I hope that just didn't mess Campbell up, you know, with like setting high expectations. He's only got one hit in 15 at bats, which isn't super great. He has walked 4 times, which is nice. He struck out 9. So, I mean, those metrics aren't good, and those metrics have to be amazing to justify not being defensively ready and making the roster to be that second baseman. You have to be a big asset in one way or another. And, you know, we've questioned whether Roman Anthony could make the roster out of camp, but right now he's got the best numbers. And Marcelo Meyer's numbers are actually fine, but, you know, you've got your shortstop for right now, and that's Trevor Story. Anthony right now has exactly a 500 on base percentage with a 308 average. No home runs yet, but still, you know, the best numbers of all the kids. Nick, you had some thoughts?
I was just going to say, I guess, I'm wrong. You're right. We'll go to the next thing.
Well, you know what? If you want your best alignment out there, and
I think Christian Campbell is the best player out there
at second.
I just think offensive upside, what is David Hamilton going to bring you? 250, 16 home runs and a great day, like a great season. He had 16 home runs. I think he hits like 8 realistically.
I think your best second baseman right now is Alex Bregman.
Well, that's what I was going to ask was, is Alex Bregman the second baseman? Is Devers definitely playing third base? Because I don't. I know you do, Terry, but Jason, do you think Devers plays third base?
I actually
more
think
than like 35, 50 games. I don't think he plays more than like 50 games at third base.
A lot. And see, this is the problem. This is the position they put themselves in. It depends on what Campbell does. Because if he struggles in AAA, if he doesn't just explode out of the box and, you know, make a statement with his bat or his glove down there, then they're going to keep trotting out Yoshida as their DH. They're not going to rush Campbell up here just to move Devers off of third. That they'll live with Devers, you know, and his poor defense because Bregman is a professional. Bregman's not going to have trouble playing second base. It's all going
to
rely on Campbell.
Yoshida's not. I think he sucks. That I'm sorry, but I think he sucks. I think your best case scenario with Masataka Yoshida is a 265 batting average with 13 home runs and 200 ground balls to second base. That's your best case scenario with Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this is a little unfair because I've barely seen Yoshida, at least on my television this spring, but I watched him today, first at bat. It was exactly that. Chopper to second base. His second at bat, a squeaky little, you know, ant killer to third base. Like, he still looks like the same guy. This whole idea of, oh, the shoulder's healthy, he's gonna come back and drive the ball more. He still looks like the same guy. Just
I know
has
so
to
many
lower
people
the
love him, but they should not. How many times is he gonna drive a six hopper to the second baseman? Those are outs in the major leagues. Those are outs in high school. Like, you hit ground balls to second base, you're out. We learned that when you turned 14. Come on. Why are we sending Masataka Yoshida out there in our five hole?
So I need to see some exit velocity from him, and we haven't seen that yet. He had a nice game on Sunday, drove in 3, but they weren't like hard hit balls. One was a soft liner to center. Trevor Story came in on that. And then he hit a ground rule double that hopped over the right field wall. And it was nice. A couple runs came in on that, but I need to see some exit velocity. Now, I listened to the TC podcast today while I was out on my route, and they're very pro. Him and Merlone are very pro Yoshida and pointed out last year, well, he wasn't healthy, and maybe he hasn't truly had a healthy season. So, and he still put up okay numbers last year, not what you want, but he was first or second on the team in terms of average, and his on base looked okay, but you know, the power numbers weren't there. And so I don't know, but I still feel like winning games is important. Making October is important. Christian Campbell can easily force his way onto the roster if he starts checking off all the boxes. And I think that's what we need to wait for. We need to be patient with that. And Roman Anthony will do the same thing. and we need to be patient. We've got a lot of really talented guys. I'm sounding like Tristan Casas now from that quote a couple weeks ago. You got a lot of veterans here that can get it done in the meantime. And I think you should let them hold it down in April and May, and then let the kids cook a little bit in Worcester, and then they'll come up. Go ahead, Nick.
Here's my argument against that. When you put out your 5'7 Masataka Yoshida out there, there is a ceiling of how good he can be. Masataka Yoshida is best at his best. He's a 280, 15 home run, 800 OPS, 810, 815 OPS guy. You put Christian Campbell, you put Roman Anthony out there, and you're talking 900 OPS. You're talking about a guy who can actually, he's 6'2", 6'1". He's an athlete. Like, I'd much rather have those guys out on my field at 20, 21 years old, 22 years old over Masataka Yoshida, who's mid-30s now. He's 31 years old. Masataka Yoshida has reached his ceiling. He's 5'8", and that's it. That's all he's got.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, when Christian Campbell can come up to the big leagues and just give me 2024 Seydon Rafaela numbers, which I think is modest, but when he can at least give you that consistently and you're confident you're probably not going to have to send him back down, that's when I get rid of Yoshida. I'm not pro Yoshida. I don't want to rush the kids for the sake of it.
I think Christian Campbell could put up a 300 on base percentage tomorrow.
It's got to be better. That's than
what
that
Christian. Goal. If that's what we're talking about, Seydon Rafaela, 300. I think he had under 300 on base.
And that, if yeah, that's
putting up those numbers. I think he can do that tomorrow.
That's kind of where I'm at, though. It's got to be better than that, and
it's
I agree.
Be
with
way
Terry.
Better than that. It's got to be 340.
Yeah.
On base with 15 and 20 homers.
Yeah.
And that, I think that still happens. I really do.
Out of camp,
I think
you mean?
Christian Campbell can do that. I think Roman Anthony could do that. I think one of the two, you have two options better than Masataka Yoshida. Put one of them in the lineup. That's kind of how I feel. Just whatever one you think is more ready.
I don't want Yoshida on this roster by July or August. Like, things went badly wrong if he's still up here by then. I'm just looking at, I want to get off to a good start. And if that means Bregman at second for now and Campbell and Anthony down in Worcester, I just think you're pretty stacked. And we've got great pitching as well.
I think the offense is fine as long as Walker Buehler performs.
Yeah.
If Walker Buehler performs, the Red Sox will be good.
I think
so, that's what
well.
It comes down to.
All right.
But we could be great with a Roman Anthony 25 bombs and a 275 batting average. Like, you could be great with that. You could be great with Christian Campbell putting up the same numbers.
I think the Red Sox can be the best team in the second half if we're patient with the kids. And I think that's important because that's when we've been slipping out of the playoffs. Is the last 2 months. So, all right, we should have got to pitching talk, but you know what? It's fine. We can save that for Sunday. We'll probably have a little bit more clarity by the time we get there. So we will wrap on that. We are doing our annual Ladies Night episode. So that'll be the one that drops a day after this one. So be on the lookout for that. I'm going to be traveling out west. I will have my equipment with me if anything urgent does break, but I would not expect anything before Sunday otherwise. So everyone have a great second half of your week. Take care.